The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, December 1st. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Trading firms are supposed to have robust risk and compliance systems to keep track of funds and protect investors' money. But at Sam Bankman-Fried's crypto trading firm, Alameda Research, former employees say the systems in place were so lax, they never really knew how much money Alameda even had. On today's show, what happened at Alameda Research? And can it give us any insight into the downfall of Bankman-Fried's crypto empire, including the digital currency exchange FTX? We'll discuss that with Wall Street Journal's special writer, Gregory Zuckerman. That's after these headlines. A potential battle between Twitter and Apple appears to have been averted after Elon Musk said he met with Tim Cook yesterday. The Twitter boss tweeted that the two resolved a, quote, misunderstanding about Twitter potentially being removed from Apple's App Store, and that Tim Cook said they never really considered banning the social media platform. Earlier this week, Musk attacked the iPhone maker, accusing it of stifling free speech, and claimed the tech giant had threatened to kick the Twitter app off the iPhone. Apple didn't respond to requests for comment. DoorDash is cutting its corporate staff by 6%, becoming the latest big tech company to lay off workers. In an internal memo, CEO Tony Hsu said the food delivery platform needs to rein in costs after a pandemic-fueled growth spurt. He said without changes, the cost of operating the business would outpace sales growth. Food delivery companies have been facing a slowdown in demand amid high inflation and a potential economic downturn. DoorDash has struggled to turn a profit since it went public in 2020, with the exception of a profitable quarter at the start of the pandemic. The co-CEO of Salesforce, Bret Taylor, is stepping down. The move makes co-founder Mark Benioff the company's sole chief executive. Salesforce has had a dual CEO structure on and off over its history. Taylor was elevated from chief operating officer to co-CEO a year ago. He says he's leaving Salesforce to return to his entrepreneurial roots. The company says he'll officially depart at the end of January. General Motors' driverless car unit, Cruise, is seeking approval from regulators to test vehicles that have no steering wheels or manual controls. It's asking the California Department of Motor Vehicles for permission to test the driverless shuttles on the streets of San Francisco during limited hours. A spokesperson for the company says it plans to start testing once it receives regulatory sign-off. And while GM and Cruise push ahead with their plans for commercializing robo-taxis, others are pulling back from the self-driving space. On Wednesday, Honda, which is an investor in Cruise, said it would focus on partially autonomous driving tech to improve safety. Executives say full self-driving cars are proving harder to develop than expected. This week, the Japanese automaker showed off a prototype system that allows cars to automatically overtake slow-moving vehicles on a highway. But an alert human driver still needs to be at the wheel. India's central bank is launching a pilot program for digital rupees today. A closed group of users will be able to make payments and other transactions using a digital wallet issued by four participating banks. The digital rupee tokens will be issued in the same denominations as India's paper money and coins. The effort puts India ahead of many major economies, which have also been exploring the idea of their own central banks issuing digital currencies. The Reserve Bank of India has said a digital rupee could provide Indians with a safe alternative to risky private digital currencies. And Miami wants to change the name of its FTX arena amid the crypto firm's spectacular blow-up. A couple of years ago, FTX signed a 19-year, $135 million deal with Miami-Dade County to sponsor the arena where the NBA's Miami Heat play. Now, the county is asking the judge in FTX's bankruptcy case to terminate the agreement. FTX is the latest firm to fall prey to the, quote, stadium name curse, in which a company's name is plastered across a major sports arena ahead of its sudden demise. Think Enron in Houston and Adelphia Coliseum. Our reporter Ryan Dezember says by getting its name on an NBA arena, FTX hoped it would be beamed into millions of households.
They want to vault themselves into the upper echelon of corporate America and be seen alongside, you know, automakers, airlines, banks, sort of household company names. And a lot of times they're not ready for it and they don't have the money. It also really helps burnish the brand. FTX did this, and it was part of a big marketing push to put their name in front of people watching sports and other contests. They sponsor chess tournaments, Formula One team, other NBA teams. They had their patch on the uniforms of Major League Baseball's umpires. They just really blanketed and put their logo wherever sort of the gambling type would see it.
While Miami looks to put some space between itself and FTX, former staff at Bankman-Fried's other company, Alameda Research, say they quit in part because of his cavalier attitude toward risk and compliance. Was it a sign of what was to come at FTX? We'll discuss. That's after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
In a bankruptcy filing, the new CEO of FTX, John J. Ray, says the crypto exchange displayed a, quote, complete failure of corporate controls, and said there was a complete absence of trustworthy financial information. But former employees say that laissez-faire attitude toward risk and compliance extended back into founder Sam Bankman-Fried's history. Former staff at his trading firm Alameda Research say years earlier they quit, in part because of the way Bankman-Fried handled risk and accounting issues. So what can that history teach us about what went down at FTX? Joining us to discuss this is special writer for The Wall Street Journal, Gregory Zuckerman. Hi, Greg. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
You know, a lot of people have heard of FTX since the crisis with it began, and now a lot of people have heard of Alameda Research because of that. But can you take us through the creation of Alameda? I mean, how did it get started?
Of course. So Sam Bankman-Fried, the man who's at the helm of this crypto exchange that's collapsed, called FTX, after MIT, after working at a firm called Jane Street, a trading firm, he left to start something called Alameda Research. This was going to be a firm that would focus on cryptocurrencies and trade them, a quasi-hedge fund type of firm. And this was, we're talking 2017, about 2 years before he started FTX. So the first business he started was Alameda Research.
Now, some former employees of Alameda Research are saying they quit in part over Bankman-Fried's risk tolerance. What kind of risks are they describing in their accounts? What sort of criticism are they putting out there?
Yes, what happened was early on, we're talking the fall of 2017, a rift developed in this new young trading firm. A senior employee, senior staffer, senior traders started to get nervous at what Sam Bankman-Fried was doing, or rather what he wasn't doing. What he wasn't doing was embracing, accepting just sort of conventional, proper, standard risk controls, accounting measures, compliance, the kind of stuff that most everybody else in the trading world is fine with. Measurements of who's doing what with the money, where the money is going, how much they're making, what's being allocated. They had money for their firm, you know, buying desks, buying computers, that kind of thing. And they had money to trade, and it was being commingled, mixed together, and it all worried people at the firm. And they said to Sam, hey, we can't trade like this. We need better measurements, accounting, and otherwise to kind of judge where the money's going. And he resisted their effort to incorporate and embrace some of these risk accounting and other measures.
Why is that such a big deal?
Frankly, the early employees point to the recent problems and say, well, geez, what we were worried about, that was a foreshadowing of the problems that were ahead. And in some ways, it says to us from the outside that, wow, these problems could have been avoided had Sam Bankman-Fried embraced the suggestions of his colleagues.
How do we know all this information?
So we spoke to a number of people close to the matter, so a series of interviews, and there were documents. There were contemporaneous documents written by Sam Bankman-Fried in 2018 to explain the rift, to explain the split, why so many senior people left his firm.
Has Sam Bankman-Fried responded to any of these criticisms?
So what Sam Bankman-Fried has said is that, yes, early on at the firm, there was a rift, there was a fight, there was pushback. His colleagues were upset at him for these very reasons, the fact that he resisted the accounting and other controls, compliance, etc. But what he said is that subsequently, he did make some changes in terms of being a better boss, listening to his employees, having more transparency. So I think he would argue that, well, some of the recommendations that they pushed for, yes, I resisted them initially, but later I embraced them.
I mean, you mentioned that they raised these concerns with Bankman-Fried, but did they raise them with anyone else?
Yeah, Zoe, so they did raise these concerns and share them with others, in particular with some of the early investors in the firm. And they said to some of the early investors, hey, this firm, Alameda Research and Sam Bankman-Fried, are not trading properly and not starting, they're not initiating their firm in a proper way. And that was kind of it. It's important to keep in mind that we're talking a period, again, the fall of 2017 through the spring of 2018, when this firm, Alameda Research, was relatively small, did not have any individual investors. It's not clear they would have been able to get anyone's attention.
One of the big issues in this crypto bankruptcy is how customers' funds from FTX were used for investments by Alameda Research. On Wednesday, Bankman-Fried was speaking at the DealBook Summit, and he said he didn't knowingly commingle the funds and said it was a failure of oversight on his part. But I wonder if knowing more about what went on in the early years of Alameda Research will help with understanding the fall of FTX. You know, will it help customers regain some of their money or at least, you know what happened?
Well, it's a good question. I think it sheds light on the firm, his management style, his approach to risk, his approach to accounting. I think it could undercut an argument, perhaps from Bankman-Fried and others. They may come and argue, well, you know, we didn't know any better. We just started this firm and we messed up and we're really sorry, but we were just, you know, young guys, cut us some slack. And what I think our article kind of shows is there were early warnings and there were concerns issued by colleagues of Sam Bankman-Fried.
All right. That's special writer for The Wall Street Journal, Gregory Zuckerman. Thanks so much for joining us, Greg.
Thank you, Zoe. Have a good one.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you're looking for more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you're a fan of Tech News Briefing, please leave us a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps others find the show. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.